You see, we are removed in many senses from slavery here in America, modern day America. I know we hear a lot of stories about it from days going by, and I know slavery still exists, even in America. But you need to think about what we do know about slavery. They have no rights. They have to do whatever their master says or else. Now that's the negative view. That's certainly a very negative view of slavery, isn't it? But that's a negative view. Why? Because it involves the ownership of an evil master. Now I want to ask you a question. Who's your master? Who's your master? You know, Romans tells us, talks about you're a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. Who's your master? Church, if you don't get this right, if you don't understand the reality of the importance of who's your master, then you're not going to glean all that God has, the richness of this book. Because it's designed to inform God's servants. So Jesus says in verse 7 of our text, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." Let me say that again. Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. I am coming with quickness and speed. It will be soon." How do you respond to that? The scripture tells us that some are going to respond to the coming of Jesus with tremendous fear, as if it's a thief who comes in the night. When you hear that Jesus is coming quickly, what's the inward response? Be honest with yourself. Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it, "Oh God, not today, not right now"? You see the power of the Word of God? You see the power of the Word of God. What's 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us? "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what four things? For teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Does it invoke a conviction in your heart? Does it invoke an excitement? Because indeed, the flow and thrust of the Scriptures is toward this end, isn't it? Jesus is coming again. What a day that shall be. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Did you know that the book of Revelation has seven blessings? Or some call them beatitudes. This is the sixth. The seventh is found in verse 14 of our text. "Blessed are they that do his commandments." These blessings are found throughout the book of Revelation, and they comprise of blessings to the reader, the listener, and the obedient. To those who die in the Lord. To those who are vigilant and holy. Blessing to those who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessing to those who have part in the first resurrection. And these final two are blessings to the obedient. The obedient. Now, something I wrestled with as well was, okay, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so the natural question is, what sayings? Because sometimes we can look at the book of Revelation and all we see is information, all we see is prophecies, all we see are these quote-unquote fantastic stories. I say quote-unquote because they are not. But we see all of these things and we miss the commands. And I trust that through our time in this wonderful book, these commands have come out. But I did some digging. And I found at least 67 commands in the book of Revelation. Did you know that? That often there is an instruction given with the expectation that it be obeyed. So with this very blessing, this means what for us? This, our response is, the next time I read through Revelation, I'm paying attention. Understanding that there is blessing for those who keep the sayings, who keep the commandments of this book. And if there are 67 of them, I better pay attention. And listen, 30 of them is this. Behold. Behold. That's equivalent to me as a preacher, pay attention. I used to have a guy in college, the microphone would be right here. He would go like this, listen up. And everybody would boom. Listen up. 30 times in the book of Revelation. Listen up. Now you might say, what's the deal with that command? Pay attention. You need this. This is important for your life. What is about to be unveiled for you is truth that will change your life. Listen up. Some of the other categories of the commands are these. Hear the Spirit. Now, where do you think those are found? Revelation 2 and 3 are the seven letters to the churches of Asia. Remember? That's way back. But every letter closes with this exhortation, hear the Spirit. Pay attention to what God is saying to you. Do you do that? You hear me pray that sometimes. You know why I pray that? Because I've learned from my time in the book of Revelation. That is a perfect application for us today. Lord, give me ears to hear. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me, to the church, to you today. Give me ears to hear it. So think about that. Do you have ears that are open and willing to hear? Are you here today because you're just doing your time? You might say, Pastor, that's harsh. I understand the realities of life can so daunt us that we do church as a duty. And you come here overwhelmed with life. My prayer is, and may your prayer be, God, give me ears to hear through the noise of my life. I want to hear your Spirit today. Hear the Spirit. Repent. Found four times. Repent. Come to Jesus. Remember. Hold fast. Commands, but there's blessing in keeping the commands of God. So verse 8 of our text, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, now here's a response in the text. John, what happens to John? What does he do? He falls down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me, he says, showed me these things. All right. What brings a man to the point that he just drops and he worships? What brings him to that point? What is it? When was the last time that you were brought to your knees in worship? I'm asking myself this question. When was the last time? And so you see a response here with John, because he is interacting with the sayings and the visions of Jesus Christ. And his response, as it is in the first chapter, he falls down before Jesus. Here he falls down before this angel because he is so overcome with all that has been said. Now, of course, the angel says, no, not me. He says, worship God. But don't miss, the response is worship. And what is worship? Ascribing honor where it is due. It is understanding where it is due and taking the steps to place the honor where it belongs. Is this your life? I've recently learned a new definition for godliness. I did a little word study on that to teach some young men. And that word godliness has embedded in it worship. And so my new definition of godliness is the worship of God on display. And you know a godly person because what you see in their life is a worship and reverence and fear of God. That has helped me. That has really helped me. It puts it on ground level what it means to be a godly man. It means that people understand that I worship God. It is clear from the way I live my life. And so we see the response of worship. Do you worship God? And I say, Pastor, we're in church. Of course I worship God. No. Do you give honor to the Lord above all else? You see, idolatry is spoken against often in the scriptures. And I dare say it is probably one of the most common areas of sin in our lives, where we worship other things, other people, ourselves, and not God. Well, we see the dialogue continue in verse 10, where it says, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Understanding the word of God is important. This has to get out, John. This is important. Don't seal these up in a bottle. This needs to be a book that it's not taped shut, but laid open. This needs to be readily available to the churches. Churches, you need to hear this. You need to know this. You need its truth. God wants you to know these things. God wants to change your life and strengthen your life as a result of these things. The time is at hand, of course. The book of Revelation creates within us this concept of imminence. That God, at any time, can say, go, and Christ goes. And what we see in this book unfolded, it's all upon the decree of God. So as we think about response, verse 11 is an interesting verse because it says some things that are initially hard for us to grapple with. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, we just say dirty, impure, let him be impure still. And you see, this makes sense because this makes sense in the context of understanding how people are going to respond to God's truth. You see, when people hear God's truth, not everyone accepts it. Not everyone will embrace it and say, oh, this is wonderful. This is God's truth for my life. You see, Paul dealt with this with Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we read this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What a difference. It's the same preaching of the cross. It's the gospel message. The book of Revelation. It's the same message that goes forth, but you have different sets of ears. And you are going to have people that hear the book of Revelation and they will despise it. And so hearing it is going to bring about no change at all. And so therefore they will continue to live in their unjustness and impurity. So it says that on the negative side, but then it says, but he is righteous, let him be righteous still. Probably a good way to translate that would be, let him practice righteousness still. He that is holy, let him practice holiness still. There are two responses. And this is what I want us to get, church. We've got to wrestle with it. And where are you? You could sit here every Sunday, every service, hearing the same message and walk away and still live in your impurity. Still walk away from God. Young people, this is a sad characteristic of your culture, of your age. You sit and you hear, but it has no effect, and you continue to live in your impurity. Don't allow that to happen. Now, I know I'm picking on the young people, but it's the same is true for all of us. Parents, you're the primary influence in your young people. Teach them and live before them this truth. And when you wrestle with God's truth, God's righteousness, you live righteously. You've been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are righteous, justified by His blood. And so therefore, keep on living righteously. Holy. He makes you holy and sanctified and set apart. This is you, then keep on living holy lives. Don't give up. This is what God desires for us as His people now. Live righteously. Live holy lives. Well, Jesus repeats himself in verse 12, and he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Response: my God is a rewarder, and he's coming to bring that reward. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a" what? "A rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Oh, I love that. And I have really enjoyed recently just looking and understanding my God as a rewarder. It has been so strengthening to my faith. When I understand and I view him, he is good. And he is a rewarder. And he is coming soon, and he's bringing that reward with him. "And every man according as his work shall be." So the question is, how's my work? How's my work? How's your work? Okay. Not according to how you think your work is, or how you think your neighbor thinks your work is. How do you think God sees your life? Boy, that's where that really clarifies things, doesn't it? God, what do you think of my life? You know, don't you, church? Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Absolutely. But did you know that the next verse? "For we are his workmanship." That God has good works for us, all designed, ready for us to do. Are you busy for God? Is your salvation being lived out today? Response: "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Our God is everlasting to everlasting." He's eternal. Blessed, verse 14, "are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." We've talked about this. This is the glorious truth of we've got right to be with God in his holy city, in the presence of his glory. But without, verse 15, outside are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. As we were preparing for our special music today, one of the things I was coaching my son as he was reading that passage was, we don't want to read that with this attitude of disdain. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, fornicators, they're outside. Good riddance." We want to read it with compassion. Because this is the character of our Lord. This is his mercy. Because here at the end of Revelation, which has been delivered to the churches who are living among idolatrous people, they know these people personally. And it is not God's intent for us to disdain these people, but for us to realize that the lost will be forever lost. They will not have access to the glorious city of God. And may Revelation invoke within you a compassion for the lost and a motivation to reach them with the gospel. Yes, blessed are they that keep his commandments. You've got right to the tree of life. Amen. Oh, but remember, that is your right, but you can bring others with you. Because there are going to be, this is reality. There is blessing for the saved and cursing for the lost forever and ever. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's what we're doing. We're a church, aren't we? In the churches, he says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, tying together the glorious Old Testament and the prophecies of David shall have a son, the covenant that was given to David, that his throne would be forevermore. Here is Jesus. And so verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, they say, oh, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Let him that hears, and the way I understand this is that him that hears the sayings of this book, may his heart be changed to the point that he says, come. Come. And let him that is thirsty come. Even in the last page of the Bible, there's an invitation. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation is extended. He that is thirsty, come. Why? The invitation. Because we have come to know that Jesus is the true source of sustaining life, of everlasting life. The Spirit knows that to be true and says, come, Lord Jesus. The bride, the church, knows that to be true and says, come, Lord Jesus. He that heareth these things and is a believer understands and says, come, Lord Jesus, I am ready. He that is thirsty, let him come. And whosoever will, let take the water of life freely. But as we talked about already, there are different responses, and some people will be frustrated with the book of Revelation and, frankly, with the Bible itself. And they will try to make it fit their own paradigm and their own worldview, their own presuppositions. And God has a word for them as well. For I testify, verse 18, unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Isn't it interesting? You add to God's word, God adds plagues to your life. Verse 19 is very similar, although it's the other direction. If you take away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away your part out of the book of life. Some translations will say away from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Don't wrestle with that too much in that this is not saying people will lose their salvation. What this is saying is that true believers won't tamper with the Word of God. True believers hold to the Scriptures, and even if they don't understand it, they will not add to it or take away, but they will seek to understand it. A true believer will embrace God's truth as it is revealed to us. But one who does not believe will seek to warp it into his own creation to justify himself. And the end of that is certain destruction. So he which testifieth of these things says this. It says, surely I am coming quickly. Now, this is an addition here, surely. It's there for emphasis. Why? Being the last words of the scriptures, I think God wants to tell us something. He's coming. And you don't know when. Be ready. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. So John's response is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What is your response? Read it out loud, church. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now that was practice. We're going to do it nice and loud here. And this is our prayer, right? Here we go. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You believe that? Is that the heart attitude? I know it came out of your lips, but is it your heart? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the book of Revelation demands a response. Yes, you might say, oh, we went through it and we finally made it to the end. Why did you go through it? It's because God desires you to respond and desires to work in your life and to bring about change and to bathe you in His glorious truth and to inform you of what is to come so that you are ready, so that you're compassionate, so that you're motivated. I don't know how God is laying His finger in your heart today. We covered a lot of various different things because there's a lot in here. But if I were to just give us this one theme, let us be people who interact with God's Word and respond to it. Lord Jesus, I have run out of words, and so I must stop. Have your way, use your word. We offer this time, this message, our efforts in listening and speaking unto you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the promise you're coming. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for how you've strengthened our faith. Thank you for the anticipation that you've put within our hearts. Thank you for the expectation that we will see God. Thank you for the truth that there will be no more curse. Thank you for reminding us that the world is full of the lost who need to hear. And indeed, God, their eternal end is damnation. And so we pray, God, bring many into your family soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.